Hear the word of the Lord from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13 for our Christmas Eve meditation. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, dearly redeemed believers, celebrating Christians. Isn't that an unlikely place to find a Savior? In a stable? A manger bed? Isn't that an unlikely place to find the Son of God? The deity in a baby? And isn't this an unlikely text for a Christmas Eve celebration? I passed this up years ago and have never preached on it before because I could not figure out where it fit. And the last place I ever would have thought was Christmas Eve, till this year. And listening to the radio and the TV, if you can stand it, and reading in the papers about how depressed Americans are. It's so sad and heartbreaking for me as a pastor, charged by God to cheer people up with the good news of Jesus Christ as the Savior, His wisdom in our lives, His guidance and comfort, and I have to listen to this. All these solutions that, no, they're ideas that don't even come close to solutions. What was that article in the local weekly? Was it called 20 Reasons to Celebrate? Did you read those? Things like, this should make us happy now. They got it done. The weave in the freeway is now unwoven. And some of our local athletes could go to state this year. And I read that and I thought, well, what, is this the first year that some of our local athletes could go to state? We're all going to be so happy. Because, well, when there's a bad economy and people don't have jobs, they have more time to play in the snow with their kids. You know, it's okay to be thankful. Look for every reason you can. But where was God in all that? Where was one mention of the reason we have to be thankful for Christmas? And the Christ child. Ah, is it too unlikely? We cannot conceive of this. We cannot make this up. We cannot decide on our own unless someone tells us the good news and why we celebrate the Christ of Christmas. Last Sunday, our children in the children's service let us see Christmas through the eyes of Isaiah the prophet. 100 years later, we see Christmas through the eyes of Jeremiah the prophet, about 600 years before Christ. And this is a miracle, because this prophet is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah's eyes were usually filled with tears. And one time in 52 chapters, he says, "Sing." At this time, when he sounds about as low as he can get, I won't even read you the verse after our text. But here, he says, "Sing." He says, "Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked." Through the eyes of Jeremiah, we see Christmas. We hear the Holy Spirit through Jeremiah say, "Let Christmas carols ring in praise of the Lord." I don't think it's a stretch at all. If Jeremiah had his choice, he wouldn't be a prophet 700 years, 600 years before Christ. He would be one of those shepherds out there with the sheep outside of Bethlehem. That's a lot better job. Give me the stinky sheep. Don't give me Jerusalem about the time when the Lord's hammer comes down. Because every time I open my mouth, all I can talk about is death and destruction. That's all you give me, Lord. Mostly. And it's not fun telling people that. Jeremiah would rather have been outside. You know, one time he tried to leave the city and he got arrested. He was just going to see a piece of property. Can you imagine? You want to go to grandma's house, you're on the highway just outside of town, and you get pulled over by the state troopers because the mayor's mad at you? Or the high authorities in the church in town get the state police after you because you said something they didn't like? That's Jeremiah's job. So the Lord gave him the word to speak. Nobody likes to hear what he had to say. "Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction." Well, there's a clue, Jeremiah. Maybe that's why people don't want to hear you. "But the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long." So he tried to be quiet. Just don't say anything. Just keep it to yourself. Put a lid on it. "But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." He tried to be quiet. He tried to keep it to himself. But that fire just wouldn't go out. That fire of the Holy Spirit. People needed to be warned about what was coming. And they needed to hear about Christmas, even through the weeping prophet. "I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him." You have friends and relatives like that? You hear the word of the Lord, or you read something in your Bible and you just want to share it with somebody, and they get mad. They get angry and upset. You're sharing the Savior with them. Why is that? Why is it that there are people in our society that have to tell their workers on the telephone, "Don't say Merry Christmas to anybody. You got to say Happy Holidays," or something like that? You know what I say when they say Happy Holidays to me? I say, "Merry Christmas to you." You know, I think that the rest of us that know should not really be forced into despair and sadness just because everybody else doesn't know. If someone came up with a cure for cancer that worked every time, should everybody that doesn't know tell the one who does know to just be quiet? Or should this be made known and published? I think we ought to say it more and tell them he's your Savior too, whether you know it or not or want to believe it or not. God's own Son, come to save us from our sins. Ah. That's the hard part. If it took God's own son to save me from my sins, they must be worse than I thought. And if rejecting God's own son is something I would do, then what would I expect from God except wrath and anger? And if he kept his promise to save the world by sending his own son, what about the other one? About destruction for those who reject him. Is it really logical to say there are all sorts of ways to heaven? Everybody can choose their own name and worship whatever way they want? Or do we Americans get a little lesson in identity theft when we keep stealing God's identity? And now we have a major problem in our society. Will we learn a lesson? To learn to trust in the Lord and realize until I see my sin in the shame that it is and the guilt that I have, what I owe to God because of my sins, how can I ever appreciate my Savior? But when I know I deserve nothing but God's wrath and punishment, and then I see Jesus, and I hear this Christmas story, I rejoice to hear it more and more every year. I want to tell everyone I can. How can you realize how great the riches of God are in Christ until you know your own poverty and you feel your own guilt and your sin and your shame? But when you know that, and then you hear about the eternal riches of joy and peace and hope, no matter what your life may be like, oh, you're rich indeed. Whether the bank account or the stock market says anything else, it doesn't matter. When you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are wealthy beyond anything this earth has to offer. Jeremiah knew it. Jeremiah could see it coming. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Life on earth is one thing. Life in heaven is exactly the opposite. So unlikely. How unlikely can you get than to think of who the mother of the Lord Jesus was? Who would dream this up, that a virgin would have an angel named Gabriel come and tell her, you'll still be a virgin, but you'll have a baby. He will be the Son of God. And she's surprised, but humble. May it be to me as you have said. Who could be more unlikely for the stepfather than a bachelor who was sure that he needed to quietly divorce this woman who was expecting, and he knew it wasn't his, until an angel comes and says, it's the Son of God? Who more unlikely to be the first witnesses of the Savior's birth than lowly shepherds with smelly sheep outside a little town of Bethlehem, known and famous to this day, but not at all important then? Because there, 1,000 years before, from that town came David the king, and great David's greater son comes in the most unlikely way, and you might think that you are a most unlikely witness for the God of all creation and his Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe so, and so am I. But we are his witnesses. And if you and I know, then let Christmas carols ring in praise of the Lord. Let Christmas carols ring for his glorious rescue. So unlikely. Sing to the Lord, give praise to his name. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. What an unlikely solution. What is our problem as Americans that we get all tripped up on the unlikelihood of God's plan of salvation when we have unlikely situations throughout our lives? If I asked you whether it was likely that you were going to win a sweepstakes, you'd tell me it was unlikely, and I can just see it. You see a truck pull up and you meet them at the driveway and you tell that sweepstakes prize patrol to go somewhere else because, you hear yourself, it's so unlikely. It's so unlikely, the statistics say, that anyone is going to win the lottery. So that stops Americans, right? Don't buy any more of those lottery tickets because it's so unlikely. And we quit supporting the casinos, the temples of the modern gods, because it's so unlikely that anyone would win. Just drive up the freeway, get off at Hinckley, turn right on the highway, and ignore that huge complex of casino on the right. You know what's on the left side, the north side of that highway headed east? A little Christian church about the size of this one. And if that doesn't tell you how Americans worship today, nothing else will. And if that doesn't give you a clue why the Lord is disciplining us in our economy. Solutions, solutions, rescue we talk about. The only rescue we can seem to think about has to do with the weather or the economy. Or the only rescue some can find is in a bottle or some illegal substance. Who would dare to say that God would speak to us and give us his wisdom and his thoughts and his feelings to the point of giving us also his compassion to show to others and his kindness and love to rule our homes, the Prince of Peace to come and live here and in my family and in their hearts and in my community? Who would dare to speak of a rescue from death itself except the God of unlikely salvation, who through a weeping prophet tells us, let Christmas carols ring and praise the Lord for his glorious rescue. In that unlikely place, I find him as they said, sweet, holy child, and in a manger bed, a still small voice to cry one day for me. A still small voice to cry one day for me. And not for me alone, but for me and you and the whole wide world, because God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So unlikely that tiny babe could be the Christ of God. But God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross for you, for me, for all. Take it to the bank. Take it to heaven. Take it to your home. Take it to heart. Take it to everyone you know. Let Christmas carols ring. Don't let the unlikelihood of Christmas stop you or the depression of the world around you. Because once through his tears, this weeping prophet could see Christmas. And in this hope, he lived and died and lives again in Christ. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.